Brother Bob will be doing the Sunday school class in the morning. So if you would, let's start talking again about grace. And I was thinking yesterday, grace was only mentioned a few times in the Old Testament. Just very few times, because according to man, there was not any grace in the Old Testament, according to what they saw. Now, there was grace all the way from when Adam did what he did and Eve did what she did. That we know there was grace way before, but God gave them the law. And then Brother Brown, you know, he preached the sermon taking law for, they took law. Should have took grace, but they took law. They took the law. And what did the law do? The law condemned you. The law put you in jail. The law said, if you do this, don't do that. If you were caught committing adultery, you got stoned and you were killed. There was no court of appeal. There was no, because the law said, you know, remember the guy that picked up sticks on the Sabbath? Just picked up sticks. And they stoned him. God said, stone him. He's doing something on the Sabbath day. So there wasn't a lot of grace to that. But now we know who brought grace. Jesus Christ is the only person that can bring grace and have grace for the people. So that's where we're going to, if you would, let's look at the two definitions of grace. Number one, in the Hebrew lexicon, it's favor, or as I was saying last Sunday. Now, listen, God is not a respecter of persons, but he does have his favorites. He has his favorites because he sees a bride that's going to do what he says. So according to that, we have found favor, as we saw that Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. And we also know that the world, you know, the world calls it grace when you walk down the aisle gracefully and you're flowing and elegant and all that. So we're not going to worry about that. We're just going to worry about the one in the Bible where it is favor. And then we see that the definition of grace in the Webster's Dictionary is where Brother Branham talks about unmerited, now look, divine assistance. Because I don't care how perfect you are and how perfect I am, you still have your favorites and you lean towards your favoritism. You show favoritism. I don't care. It doesn't matter who you are. Yeah. All right, just admit it. We do show favoritism. And the way God shows favoritism, though, is by grace. By grace, he saw a group of people, and by election, or go back to foreknowledge, he knew that there would be a group of people that he was going to have to give grace for, but they would stay under that. That's why the prophet of God says, we are now missed grace. Yeah. Amen? Right. If we stay under that, then we are fine, but if we get out from under that, then we're missed disgrace. Because there is disgrace that we're not going to talk about. We're going to talk about grace. All right, but it's unmerited. So, and I'm going to read a scripture here because there's always the contention or the warring of that James says it's by works and Paul says it's by faith or by grace. And then, you know, you look at, and Brother Branham took a prophet to come, works is what? Faith expressed. So he put both scriptures together and made it work. Made it just a beautiful picture. Works is faith expressed. Well, that's what James was really trying to say. He wasn't trying to say it's just by works. And Paul wasn't saying it's just by grace. It's by both, because under grace you will do. You came to church this morning under grace. Amen. Amen. You came to church under grace, unmerited divine, look, assistance. See, in the Old Testament, like the prophet of God said, he said, I thought Jehovah hated me. And God loved, and Jesus loved me, said, found out they was the same people. And what he was talking about is they were under the law in the Old Testament, but they were under grace in the New Testament that we see. Now we, like I said before, don't forget, grace wasn't developed in the New Testament. Grace was before the foundation of the world. When God saw you and me down here doing what we're doing, there had to be grace already there. Or we would not made it to here. Has everybody got that? Amen. We would not have made it here without grace. That's why that God give a grace of marriage and divorce. He give a grace not only of human marriage and divorce, but spiritual marriage and divorce. That you and I were married to the wrong person. And then by grace, we were married to Christ. But our old husband had to be dead. We couldn't have a living husband or we couldn't be married to Christ. Amen. So unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. I like this one, a virtue coming from God. So it didn't come from man, like I said before. As close as we can get to being impartial, we're still partial. Because we got family, we got situations, blood's thicker than water, you know, you go through all that things, and you know, my family before yours, okay? But we see though that under Christianity though, because of the brotherly kindness that we haven't got to, because of brotherly kindness, so you look at, you've got to extend grace back just like Jesus did. Regardless of what you think about who's your favorite preacher and who's your favorite person, who's your favorite this, if you're under brotherly kindness, it's supposed to be just like this.
That's right.
No big eyes, no little U's, no I'm going to prefer this one or that one over that one. I was reading last night in the Conduct, Order, and Doctrine book, Brother Brown was talking about if you have a true pastor, he's a servant. He's not a master or an overlord or someone that beats you to death. And you know, Brother Dale's been a servant.
Yes.
He's give himself. Amen. He's give himself. You know what? So that you can make it.
Right.
Not so much that we can make it, that you can make it.
Right.
It's pretty profound.
Yes.
See, that's a true preacher. That's a true servant. Not to put your, you know, let God put you up here.
Right.
If God puts you up here, no man can take you down. But you put yourself up here, first person is going to take you down is God. that's the first person who's going to take you down is God. Amen? Right? Alright, so let's get on with that because that's another subject. A state of sanctification enjoyed through divine. See how many times it says divine? So it has to come from God. Grace has to be developed from God, is God, and will always be God. Because look, even when we leave here, where does the grace go that we're here? Where does that grace go to? It goes to the Jews. To take out 144,000 according to the Bible, not 150 or 200, 144,000 according to the Bible.
Right.
Grace is extended to them and then grace leaves the earth. We'll talk about that this afternoon because that's when the Battle of Armageddon happens. It's when grace is gone from the earth. There is no grace left. Even for the foolish virgin, they're going to be given eternal life. Grace is going to be extended back or into the, I tell you what, folks, something was on YouTube and it showed them, it was Mount Carmel Baptist Church. We've been talking about doctrines. I'll stop here just a minute, but it's Mount Carmel. It was not the one down here. I thought it was, so I was going to see what the little pastor was talking about, but it's Mount Carmel up here in Demers. Well, this guy's preaching. I'm talking about grace for us now. Because he's standing behind the pulpit. He's a Baptist preacher and he's talking about things that can be discussed and things that can't be discussed. He said, you cannot discuss. The Trinity is not discussable. It's a fact. He went over here just like this. He said, now, what he was talking about was speaking in tongues and the gifts. He said, those can be debatable. That's what he said, debatable. He said, in other words, did this right and he said, it's not debatable. Every one of you are going to stand before the white throne judgment. That's their doctrine. That's what they're built on. I'm telling you. I tell you this in the sermon. Brother Dale has been telling you for years.
Right.
Just go listen. That's exactly what they build their doctrine on.
Exactly.
They're going to have to stand before the white throne judgment and give an account of everything, he said.
Right. That's right.
Then he said, now the tongues and interpretations and prophets, that's debatable. But the Trinity's not debatable. And you got to go. See what I mean? Not debatable.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not to them. But to us, see, it's great. Grace, give to us. We know it's false.
Yes.
We know it's not true. There is no truth to what he's saying here.
Right.
And there's no truth to what he's saying here. So I'm telling you that there's only the grace extended. Now listen, there is grace for them maybe at the white throne judgment.
Right.
But when he stands and denies the word of God, what's he going to take to the white throne judgment?
Yeah. No grace.
Lord, Lord, have I not? And see, he even brought that scripture in, talking about prophets. He even read that exact scripture. He said, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied? Have I not done these great mighty things? He said, depart from me, I never knew you. He even read that scripture himself. Grace.
Amen.
Folks, grace.
Amen.
It's grace to know this message of the hour. Amen. Not just know it, but to live it. It's grace. And look, approval.
Right.
We have been approved. Noah was approved and found grace under the Old Testament.
Right.
Moses found grace and God actually did what Moses said.
Right.
Moses said, if you're going to kill them, you're going to have to kill me.
Right.
Amen. Portraying Christ are part of grace. But remember, that was looking toward Mr. Grace that was coming. And then now that Mr. Grace comes, Jesus Christ, there is a Miss Grace, which is us. Because in Zechariah 4, as somebody was talking about the other night, it's going to be double grace. Grace, grace unto it, because it's going to be grace. Listen, it's grace that you got the new birth. That God came to give you the new birth, not the birth like they have out there, but a new birth. According to Malachi 4, according to Luke 17:30, that we are born again the correct way through justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen?
That we know these things, and it's grace that's extended, but not only that, but we were talking about it this afternoon, which we talked before, that Malachi 4 does two things. The second thing he does is we're going to reveal the seals, which will give grace to this guy. Because listen, without the grace on the... I'm not preaching, I'm Sunday school. Grace. Grace to your soul is one thing. But the problem and the mystery that man, that guy that was there, Mount Carmel Church, I hope they're not listening. I shouldn't have said that. But look, this has got to die. This is so unholy. This is, it ain't going to make it. So we got to get a brand new one. I guess when we stand before the white throne judgment, they're going to give it, God's going to give us a brand new one because this one was worthless. You see what I mean? Now listen, God didn't preach that sermon. Satan preached that sermon.
Right.
I'm just saying the way it is, folks. Any false doctrine couldn't come from God. So we know that we get grace for the soul and that we get grace for the soul. Even if we have to go by the way of the grave, we're going to come up in this body made new, full redemption, full grace. Great. He says what? The headstone coming, crying, grace, grace unto it. Zechariah 4 verse 7. Oh great mountain. What? Statue of perfect man. No man's ever attained to that with the full headstone, with Christ coming and revealing the seals, except this end time.
Right.
Also, we look. Try to cut this short real quick. Let's go to John 1, verse 14. John 1, verse 14. We're going to skip down a few from Proverbs and all that. So John 1, 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Look. Full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he that whom I spake, he that cometh to me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Amen. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now remember, Christ came under the law to not eradicate or do away with the law, but to make it what? Honorable. Jesus lived under the law. Even when we were talking about the book of Luke, the Bible says Jesus went to church. Such as the custom was, at synagogue was open, the word had to be in the synagogue. Amen. He didn't say, well, bless God, I'm God. I don't have to go in there. No. He wanted to go. I believe he was compelled to go. Because he had a work to do. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And we see now that truly Ruth, I'm trying to skip through and get to the last one, Ruth and Esther, we see grace. But let's go all the way over to Romans 3, verse 24. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Just stay right there. Romans 4, 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. So the law had to be given for transgression, because you would not know that you were an adulterer if they had not been a law saying you don't need to have somebody else's wife.
Right.
And all the other things that the law was given. But remember, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to only that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now let's go to Romans 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. Now who was that? That was Adam. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. All right, there had to be something to judge by. But remember, you walk in and the judgment is done, and they took you out and stoned you. There was no court of appeal.
Right.
you had no court of appeal in the Old Testament.
Right.
You did the crime, you did the time. All right. but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Why? That grace was already there before Adam even did what he did.
Right.
Our God would have had to kill Adam.
Right.
And Eve.
Man, that's right.
All right? But he saw himself in Adam trying to save Eve as much as he could.
Right.
We know Adam couldn't save Eve, but he tried.
Right.
Grace did much more abound. All right? So you got sin, and then you got grace. Grace is always above sin. But listen, you can't... What happens with us, I say us, what happens with the world... is they take it and do it like this. Grace over sin. They sin and try to get grace. And that makes it disgrace. Because listen, folks, I'm telling you. When you pray and you ask God to forgive you, the prophet of God tells me, and the Bible tells me, that's put in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered by God again. Whether the world remembers it, whether your neighbor remembers it, whether your family remembers it, God cannot remember that because of grace. Because listen, folks, you and I got to come to a spot, I thought, in this message of the hour, that the real you didn't do it anyway, and you got a revelation of grace that was extended before the foundation of the world, not just when you got saved, not when you just got on your knees and asked God to forgive you, but it was covered before the foundation of the world.
Right.
But now let's don't make it disgrace and say, well, it doesn't matter then what I do, because, well, you know what? God saw you say that.
Amen.
And you're under disgrace.
Right.
That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness, look, unto eternal life. Eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We've been talking on eternal redemption. And see, grace is part of that eternal redemption. So let's go to... I've developed a cough. Look, Romans 11:5 says, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. He's talking about here. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Remember, do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts won't get you into heaven.
Right.
And I want us to see that. We've got a lot of new people coming in and a lot of people asking questions about the message of the hour. And I don't want them to see that we're living outside the Bible. I just want them to see that we're trying to live as close to the Bible.
That's right.
Because my question to many people is, they say, well, see, they make excuse. They say, well, that hair and the dress thing's in the Old Testament. Well, no, it's in the New too. Well, so is the Ten Commandments. Are you going to take the Ten Commandments out of the... Oh, no, we love those Ten Commandments, but now that wearing the garment of praying the man, that's just the Old Testament. When I want to ask them, I want to say, look, who told you you could do what you do?
Right.
Because it wasn't the Bible.
Amen.
Right? Who told you, sisters, you could cut your hair? It had to be a man standing in the pulpit.
Right.
Discrediting, disgracing the Word of God. Now, Brother Brown said, what was it? The weakness of the pulpit is what allowed those people to do what they did. Allowed those Pentecostal people. Right?
Amen?
Amen? So it is of works that we do after grace. Once I see grace, I don't want long hair. I don't want to drink a beer. I don't want to smoke a... Well, I don't want to smoke a cigarette. I want to come to church. I want to do these things. Amen. And you look at me and you say, well, that's just works. It's not works when it comes from the heart.
Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Because I'll promise you, if you don't have the new birth on down the line, just like we're seeing now, they're going to drop off like flies. Because there's nothing to hold them. Because you can't continue by works. Look at the Catholic Church. They built everything they got on works. And look what it's getting them. Nothing. And they're called the mother whore of in the Bible. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Does you understand what Paul's saying? If it by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. What is grace? Grace is for what you did in your past that was wrong. Your wrongful things. Now, you don't get grace for doing things right. You get grace for doing things wrong. Amen? And it's not for something you're going to do. It's for something you already did.
Right.
But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. If I live the Ten Commandments, look at the rich young ruler. He met grace himself, and the rich young ruler said, I've done every commandment since my birth.
Yeah. That's right.
Now by works, he made it.
Right.
But he didn't get grace. Because grace was standing there, and grace told him what to do, and he didn't do it. That one little thing he didn't do. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which it seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. In other words, the Gentiles got it. The Jews were blinded by God. Now let's go to Ephesians 2, verse 7. We'll be finished a couple of scriptures here. Then in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. You got to have faith. Because how are you going to get grace if you don't have faith? Because it's nothing tangible. It's nothing that I can say, okay, I've bought your freedom. Here's your key to freedom. No, it's by faith. Faith is unseen. I don't have this turned on.
It's crackling.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. And not that you were born into the right family, and you were born in the right church, and you watched the prophet, and you got dedicated by the prophet, and you understand what I mean? So it's not of that. It's not of works. Thank God! Because I wasn't there! I could have been dedicated by Brother Branham. He died in 65. I was born in 60. That could have happened, but it did not. And most of you here didn't either. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Alright, so let's go to 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Listen. You can't get good enough to be saved. Get saved and then God will make you good enough. Amen? You'll do your works afterwards in a work of love, not a work of have to.
Right, right. Yeah.
See, if you think this morning you had to get up and come to church because Brother Wade would preach against you if you didn't, then you're in trouble. You need a new birth.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Because that would put it under works. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us what? In Christ before the world began. There's your answer right there. Before the world began. Look, but it's now made manifest. It didn't stay in the mind of God. It didn't stay in the beginning. It unfolded itself down right here. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Look, who hath abolished death. I thought that might make you happy. And hath brought life and immortality to light, what? Through the gospel. Let's go to Hebrews 4 verse 16. Musicians, get ready to come. Let us therefore come what? Boldly unto the throne of grace. You don't have to put on the right ephod. You don't have to wash yourself with oil. You don't have to do all these things, do's and don'ts, to get into the Holy of Holies. You come boldly to the throne of grace that we may what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help I'm not going to interject that, but to help others. To help others in time of need. Why do you get grace? To give it.
Right.
You get grace to give it to somebody.
Right.
Now look, this is the very last scripture in the Bible. Revelation 22:21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.
Amen. The last scripture in the Bible. Musicians come. The last scripture in the Bible. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. God bless you. We'll see you in a few minutes.